This afternoon, we come back from a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles. By the grace of God, we were given insight and understanding what the future holds for all of us and ultimately all mankind. We are told by the grace of God in His Word, the problems that plague mankind can only be answered by studying this precious book that we call the Holy Bible, the Scriptures of Almighty God. They hold the key to every question that pertains to life, whether you're young or old alike. Makes no difference. It covers every category of life's questions that come to you as a young person, a middle-aged person, an older person, and a great senior, maybe to live like some live now to 100 years old. Incredible. But God makes it very clear in His Word that there are some things we have to recognize before we can really get a picture of what's going on. And what is happening to us on a day-to-day basis, dear brethren, is really a crime. It's a crime of crimes that has been taking place for a long time. And the master of this world, the God of this world, has been very shrewd in how he has manipulated the things of everyday life to such a degree that we have all, like the frog, been slowly, slowly boiled to the point. And he's getting ready to turn up the heat and really put the pressure on in the days, weeks, and months and years ahead, however long God permits. But all you have to do is look around and see. And as Jesus said, when you see these signs start to happen, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. It's getting close. You don't have to look hard now to see that something's wrong. Talk to the average person and they can tell you something's wrong. They may not understand what's wrong, but they know it's wrong. Because human beings can read one another. They can't read the things of God unless God opens their eyes to see the things of God. Remember the parable when Jesus' own disciples asked him, "Well, Lord, why do you talk to him in parables?" Most people think it's to make things simple so that, you know, people can understand. What did Jesus say? He said, "I speak to them in parables because to you it has been given to know, to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Unto them it is not given," meaning it wasn't their time. If it were their time, God would have given them the answers. But God is working on a plan, and we know it from the holy days as they outline, just like a puzzle of life. The great puzzle of life is explained to us. It's the mystery of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what we strive for. We do not want the fruit of what this world is producing. I'd like to take you back to a scripture in the New Testament. Let's go back, if you will. And let's go back to in the book of Peter. I believe it's in Peter. This is just coming to mind right now. So, nope, it's not Peter. It's got to be, let's try John. Let's see if John, yeah, here it is. John has it in the book of 1 John chapter 5, and notice verse 19. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. Now it says the following. This is the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos writing this information, and he says, "And we know." Now, how is it that we know? It is only by the grace of God that we know. There's no way anyone can know anything without the, in best way I can put it, without the help of God's Spirit first working with a mind and ultimately coming into that mind through repentance, conversion, and receiving the Spirit of God. People think they know, but people do not know what they think they know. None of us know anything like we ought to know. We cannot even explain scientifically what this planet is all about in which we live. We like to think we can. All right, what is gravity? It's there, but nobody can tell you why it's there. It's just there. Did it just say, "I, gravity, want to be here"? No, not anything. What about electricity? What is it? It's a source of power, but nobody can define it. We know how to make it and use it, but what is it? Other than some kind of energy that is created by doing certain things? What about the atmospheres and all the other things, the hydrosphere, all these different aspects of life. Life is so complicated, dear brethren, that nobody can put a handle on it, because it comes from the most unique, most complicated, and most wonderful being that exists in eternity. God the Father and Jesus Christ together is the family of God. And we find something very interesting in how this manual of instruction, and is, as was mentioned in the sermonette, it's like a battle manual. It tells you how to fight the good fight of faith. If you had to go and fight this world without this instruction, you wouldn't make it. I wouldn't make it. Nobody could make it. Because we're up against one of the most cunning beings who can outfox you, outmaneuver you, and has been around a whole lot longer than any of us in our short little duration walking on God's planet Earth. So it's important to, as the scripture says, take heed what you hear when God speaks. Because if you don't take heed what God speaks, who are you listening to? That was the question God asked Adam and Eve in the garden. I told you to take anything you want. It's all yours. Just stay away from that one tree that I've planted. Notice who planted it. How did it get there? It didn't get there by itself. God put it there. And then he says, stay away from it. I want to see if you're going to obey my voice. Simple test. But the adversary comes along, and then we know he's here, the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And what ends up happening? How does the story unfold for us? Very interesting. It unfolds by they end up doing what they normally could not help but do. And that's you or me. If we were there, we would have done the same thing. We would have taken of the fruit. Why would we have? Because we're not humanly designed to resist the devil. The flesh is under the control of the devil because he is superior in his thinking, maneuvering, and he just swallowed mankind up. And that's why all have come under the curse and the breaking of God or violation of God's law. We sinned. The scripture confirms we've all sinned and continue to sin. And God has to provide a way of escape. And he provided a second Adam for us in the name of Jesus Christ, his Son. I told you it's his salvation. For God to leave us in this situation would be a crime. God gave us a choice. We didn't have to go this way, but God says, I'm going to let you all get a good taste. You're going to hate this when it's all said and done. You think you're free now. The devil gave you this bologna sandwich and he says, eat it. And when you eat it, you're going to be free. And when you ate it, you found out you had pork in it, and God says, no pork, please. And you realize you ate something you shouldn't have eaten. And we're still learning that lesson even to this day, that we've eaten too much of the garbage of this world, and it has hurt us big time. And so we're having to learn some very important lessons. And so God wants us to grasp a very important aspect of what we want to talk about today. You know, keys are very important. They open doors, they help us to go places, turn the motor on in your vehicle. But do you know that the Bible outlines keys also in our defense against the enemy? And it's important that we embrace and use those keys, because to have the keys and never use them doesn't do you any good. If you walk around and say, hey, look, me, I got all these keys. What are they for? I don't know. You don't know, and you got all those keys, and you don't know? Well, they open something. Well, what something do they open? You have to know. Did you remember what we see here in verse 19? In 1 John chapter 5, where we turn to, it says, we know that we are of God. What makes that possible? Because we're here today when God says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. When God says keep the seventh day and keep it holy, he means what he says. And he's teaching us that, because we were never taught that. We didn't learn that unless you had unique training from parents who were embraced in the Sabbath and taught the biblical principles. But what it says also after that, yes, we know we are of God, and notice, and the whole world, not some of the world, the whole world lies in wickedness. You know, the only way you can enjoy this world is to enjoy it by focusing on the God who made it. If you leave God out of the picture and you love this world, you're an enemy of God, is what the Bible tells you. Because you're not embracing it from God's point of view, you're embracing it from your selfish, self-centered, individual, personal point of view. And that's called the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All the things that are in the world that Satan throws at us to constantly pull our flesh, pull it down. One of the best little cartoons that I remember years ago, I can't remember who the person was listening to it, but it featured this. And it's amazing how things stick in your mind. All these years, we'll have something more to tell you how serious this is as we move on in this subject. But in this particular cartoon, they showed a picture of this individual, and he was having to make a decision. After all, you have to do what? You have to choose. God has decreed that in the book of Deuteronomy. Everyone's got a choice to make. On one side is this picture of this little angel. And this little angel's talking in the ear of the individual, said, you know, you should not do that. That would not be good. That's not what, you know. And so you hear the positive side. Then on the other side, poof, here comes the little demon with the horns, the pitchfork and all that stuff. And he says, you don't want to listen to that other guy. That other guy's telling you all wrong. He wants you to do things. He's not giving you freedom. You want to do it your way. And of course, then the cartoon goes on to show which way he, and most of the time, he went the wrong way. And God says, that's what all of us have done. We've gone the wrong way. And God is saying, hey, you're on the wrong highway. Get back on that straight and narrow road that's going to take you to life. You're going the opposite way. You're going, it says, the road of H-E-L-L, the road to hell, which is paved with good intentions. People mean well, but they end up going the wrong way, as we all have done. We've had to come by God's grace to repentance. We've had to ask God to clean us up because we're dirty. That's exactly what David had to do. David was a man after God's own heart, but the Bible says he was dysfunctional. He had all kinds of problems. He then let lust get out of his hand when he saw a gorgeous woman, took another man's wife, sent him out to the husband to a battlefield and let him get killed. So, oh brother, you talk about a mixed up mess. And all of it is written, Romans 15 and verse 4 for our learning. He started out right. He really messed up. What do you do when you really mess up? He ran back to God. He knew he was in serious trouble. Psalm 51 is his answer. He cried out to God and asked God to blot out his transgressions. And God did. God forgave him. Because he was at that heart. That's what God was looking for. But because of what he did, he had to live with the consequences of those things. That's why God says, don't do it. Because if you say, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. Yeah, God forgives you. But the hard part with human beings, we want it to go back like it never happened. Well, it's forgiven like it never happened from God's point of view, but you've got to carry the mantle of what you did. And we all know what we've done. We've all come short of the glory of God. That's why we're here to learn, brethren. The job of the ministry is to alert you to these dangers, to help you so that we can all together, both lay people and ministry, draw closer to God so that we can have the wonderful gift he opens to us through Christ, our salvation in Christ Jesus. Now, this key that we need to look at is right here in your lap, the Bible. It's a key that has to be used, or otherwise, it's just a key. If I don't open this Bible, it doesn't serve me one bit. But as I mentioned many times in the past, when you read the Bible, you'll discover something. The Bible's reading you and explaining to you just exactly what you are, because it's like a mirror. It fires back at you in the book of James and helps you to see what you are. But if you don't want to see what you are, you close the book and you go on to other things. That's what most people do. That's not what you and I have been called to do. You and I are told that we must use this key. And I'd like you to turn with me now to Proverbs 4. Proverbs chapter 4. King Solomon recorded some very important lessons here as a type of God the Father and Jesus Christ talking to us as men and women, sons and daughters, in this marvelous Word of God. When Christ was under attack, he used the book of Deuteronomy, the Word of God, to fire back and shut the devil's mouth. And that's how you and I have. That's the ammunition we have to put in our spiritual rifle against the enemy that we fight. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom." Now, he's talking about the wisdom of God. He's not just talking about physical wisdom, but he's talking about the wisdom of God. That's what we need in order to survive. But it requires a relationship with God and Christ in order to maintain this wisdom. Notice, "And with all you're getting, get understanding." Now, why is that important? Because understanding plays a very important part in grasping what God is doing. Now, God tells us in Isaiah 55, he says, "Your thoughts are not my thoughts, your ways are not my ways." It's very important for all of us to recognize we are deficient, and we need our God to show us and teach us. And that's how we come to him like little children, and like children have to be taught by their moms and dads. We need our Heavenly Father to teach us, what is it we need to do, Dad? How do we function? Because without your help, I'm lost in a world of wickedness. I've grown up in a world of wickedness. I've learned the ways of wickedness and evil. And when Jesus came as the light of the world, John 1, what does it say? The light came into the world because God is light. One of the manifestations. Everything brings light in God's manifestation. Nothing secret or covert going on. He says, but men love darkness because their deeds are evil. They do what? They like to hide things, cover it up so you don't really see. Tell you one thing, but this is what's really going on. But God sees it all. His eyes are everywhere. Nothing can be hid from him. So we're told that we have to get understanding, because if we don't understand the Word of God, it doesn't do us any good. Now let's go back to chapter 2 and notice the instruction. Here, like a father, Solomon talking to his son. Let's take it and bump it up higher. It's God talking to us as his sons and daughters. And he says, "My son, my daughter, if you will receive my words," notice, you can accept it or reject it. You have the ability to choose. And he's telling you here and telling me that if you receive my words and hide these commandments, he says, with you. In other words, internalize them. Make them a part of you. Understand why these commandments were given. So that you, notice, incline your ear unto wisdom. Because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Jesus said to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3 that you were to do what? He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Hear what God is talking about. Then he says, apply your heart, notice, to understanding. You have to ask yourself, well, what is it that I'm to understand about these commands? And then we have to carry on, verse 3, "Yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding." That tells you something about your prayers. Generic prayers don't go any higher than the roof that's in this particular building. You have to really agonize and cry out to God and say, "God, look, I don't understand. I need understanding. I need your word. Help me to understand. I'm only a teenager, but that doesn't mean I can't learn." Many of the people God worked with were teenagers and young people. Timothy, Paul telling, don't let anyone despise your youth. Just because you're young doesn't mean you don't know anything. If you seek your hand with God, you're in the hand of the greatest knowledge and wisdom source of the universe. All these things are here written for our learning. If you seek after her like silver. Oh, yeah, people like to go after silver. Look at the family that went down there off the coast of Florida recently, found all those gold coins. They felt good about that. Probably didn't like it when the state of Florida says, "I'll take 30% of it in taxes," or whatever it is. They always, they don't go out and dig it up. But they all sure want their hands on it when it comes time for these things to be found. But if you and I seek the things of God, like silver, search for her as hidden treasure, then shall you understand the fear of the Lord. Understand. See, you begin to, all this begins to come together when you acknowledge God and put him where he belongs as the great sovereign Lord and ruler of all, and his beloved Son, our high priest, Jesus Christ, at his right hand. Once we understand that, notice what it says. For the Lord gives wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Means when you listen to what this great, awesome being, our Heavenly Father, the Supreme God, and Jesus Christ, when you hear these words, you're going to learn something. You're going to learn something you'll never learn from any other human being on the face of the earth, because nobody comes even close to that. Now let's go to Philippians. The book of Philippians, please, chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. After giving the Philippian members of the Church of God, the body of Christ, he puts this here in verse 8 in an interesting scenario here. He says, finally, brethren. Notice he's talking to people who should basically understand that God is, and that God is working out a plan and a purpose. And then he admonishes us, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Why is it important to think on these things? Because what you think upon in this world isn't pleasing to God. We entertain too many things in our minds, in our thoughts, that do not have God's blessing. How do I know that? Because it says the whole world lies in wickedness. So there are things that we look at that God says, you shouldn't be looking at that. There are things you say that God says, you shouldn't be saying that. There are things you do that God says, why are you doing that? Because when you read the manual, it says, that's not what the soldier's supposed to do. Wow. Then you begin to realize how truly deficient we all are and how much we really need our God. You don't get this on the evening news. Even listening to Fox News, you know, fair and balanced. All you're going to get is fair and balanced chaos and confusion and upheaval. That's all they can report. On rare occasions, they'll come up with something where there's a real accomplishment. And you're moved by it. When somebody who maybe has a serious handicap, like this one ball player I saw, he was playing basketball. He had no arm. But he's out there doing basketball with his school or whatever it is, and he's throwing baskets and doing fabulous things. And it just, he's an inspiration. Because there are people who have two arms, two hands, moan and groan and complain. And this guy has minus one hand, and he's out there putting us all to shame for what he does. Then there's other times when you see something like an individual who has no legs, just an upper torso, and he's hobbling around on his nubs, right in there exercising his desire to be a participant in what he was doing at the time. Puts us to shame, those of us who have two legs, 2 feet. All these things are out there to show us something. If these people had allowed themselves to become extremely negative about their situation, life would be miserable for them. And there are people who are in absolutely wonderful state of affairs and still misery. Why do they sing songs like satin sheets to lie on, satin pillows to cry on, yet I'm so lonely and so blue? Why do they sing songs like that? Because people are unhappy. Things do not make you happy. Things were made to complement life, if they're used properly. Because it's not a thing that's wrong, it's how a thing is used. And mankind has been using the wrong thing. And so what God is telling us here is that you and I have to corral our thinking. We have to bring every thought in subjection to Jesus Christ, as it says in 2 Corinthians. We have to bring it under subjection. Why? Because there's all these invading thoughts coming into our mind, even as I speak to you right now. And you sit right here. You have to confirm what I'm taught. You have to focus your mind on what I'm saying, or you got your mind flying in with thoughts in and out all the time. Some of them might be, what's for dinner tonight? Then you realize I shouldn't be thinking about that. You should be thinking about spiritual dinner, the things of God. But that's just the way we are. We're human. We're going to react this way. That's why when these thoughts come in, you say, hey, where did that one come from? That's not God's thought. You've got to throw it out. You've got to exercise those thoughts out of your mind, because if you don't, they dominate you. They begin to define who you are. And you'll see a little bit more of that as we go. Now, the title of this sermon, The Key to Godly Understanding. The Key to Godly Understanding. Right here is the key in verse 8. How to think. And how to think means what? It means you have to practice what the Bible calls biblical meditation. Biblical meditation. Because what you meditate on is what you think on. And as you think in your heart, so you become. And this becomes a very serious thing in light of biblical admonition. So meditation is very important. In Genesis 24 and verse 63, some of these scriptures I'll just refer to, others I'll go to for sake of time. Genesis 24:63 tells us that Isaac would meditate in the field at evening time. There was a specific time that he set aside to meditate. Question, do we have a specific time that we set aside in our own personal lives? We're supposed to find a time. He followed evening. Some of us might want to get up in the morning, early in the morning, and watch the sunrise and think about these things that the Bible addresses. We just came back from a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles. Is that all behind us? Or do we stop now that we have our moments of meditation and think about a sermon we heard at the Feast of Tabernacles and the inspiration we gained from it? And we think about it and we remember those things. Because again, if you don't call it back to memory, you'll forget. We're all capable of doing that. So pull out your notes if you took notes and review it. If you recorded it, play the recording again. Hear it and see if it has something there that you missed the first time round. Usually that's what happens for all of us. Joshua, he was charged by God to meditate day and night. Joshua 1 and verse 8. That once he took office after Moses had died, he became the leader of the Israelites. And he was told to read that law and then to meditate on it. That means to think about it. What is God telling me about his command? When God says, have no other gods before me, how does that mean? It means don't put anything else in place of him. And it's so easy so to do. One of the things I think most of us fail to recognize is that second commandment. Any of those idols and things that people make, he says, all that's a no-no, but the hidden word that we might miss is, and don't bow down to them. The question is, what hidden idols do we have that we bow down to? Hidden idols of the heart, the mind, that we think about, and we bow down to it because we keep repeating that thought in our mind instead of the things that God has commanded us to do. Psalm 1. Let's go to the book of Psalms, the very we sing this in services. Go to Psalm 1, and notice what we read here. Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the man, as well as the woman, that walks not in the counsel, or the advice from a counsel, of the ungodly. You don't want to listen to things that are going to advise you to do things contrary to the things of God, nor stand in the way of sinners. You don't want to get anywhere near them when they're walking contrary, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. You don't want to cast your lot with people like that. But notice, But his or her delight is in the law of the Lord. You delight in the commandments of God, the great wisdom and understanding that is found in God's law. And in his law, does he what? Meditate. Think about. Day and night. Meaning, don't let days go by without giving God his dues. And we're all guilty of letting that slip. That's why this is such an important message, because we've got the key to understand godly understanding, and we're not using it like we should. And we just need to repent of that and really sharpen up, because the battle is going to get more intense, as I'm going to show you here in just a little bit. We also go into Psalm 119. Let's go to the 119th Psalm, the longest psalm written here in the Word of God. And verse 99. Psalm 119 and verse 99. Now listen to how David expresses himself. He says, I have more understanding. Now where did we learn understanding comes from? Out of the mouth of God. Proverbs tells us it comes. Wisdom and knowledge and understanding comes from God through his Spirit. And notice, he goes on to say, I have not just understanding, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Yeah, if you're a young person in grade school, and then in high school, and then in college, and then these teachers stand up and give you a bunch of baloney to chew on, you're able to spit it out, and they look so foolish. I remember years ago in high school, this was a high school class in general science. And the teacher was giving us the story of dynamic encounter was what it was called. And he starts telling us about how this planet came here like this, and this planet came from there. The two of them said hello to each other, and when they did, they split up, and the earth was created. Girl in the back of the class raises her hand. Courageous young lady raised her hand. Teacher finally acknowledges and says, yes. She said, where did you get those two planets? He about went ballistic and said, young lady, this is a class in general science, not a class in religion. So it's only when you understand religious teaching that you really begin to get the answers to where these things come from. Science can't answer. They want you to believe the baloney they put out. They say evolution did it. What is evolution? Is evolution a god? Is evolution something we're to bow down to? Are we to praise evolution? This is why it's so important to know, and notice how he goes on to say, I have more understanding than all my teachers. The teachers don't even know what they're talking about. And we must not allow our younger generation to be intimidated by a bunch of blabbermouths. Individuals who speak and know not what they're speaking when it comes to the true matters of life. He says, for the testimonies, your testimonies are what? How did he learn this? He says, your testimonies are my meditation. It's because I think about these things that gives me the answers to combat all this foolishness that I hear. He says, notice, verse 100, I understand more than the ancients. I can go back and study the Greek philosophers, the Roman philosophers, and they don't have a clue as to what's really being done. You don't have to be intimidated by these things. You have to be willing to walk humbly with the one who really knows, God himself. And so he goes on to say, and I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. Because understanding is predicated on keeping God's word. If we don't keep it, it does us no good to have the knowledge of it. What good is it? It's just a lot of knowledge. You can say, I have a lot of knowledge, so what is that supposed to do? It doesn't make anybody do cartwheels, does it? Now, what do we learn from this? We learn very important here that the Old Testament admonition is to think on these things. What did Paul tell the young evangelist Timothy? This was another young man coming along, had to be trained in the knowledge of God's ways. 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15. He tells about how people would depart from the truth in the first part of this chapter, chapter 4. How they would come up with heresies and doctrines that are not biblical when you understand. He tells us in verse 8 the importance of exercise, because it's a good thing to keep you in health and in tone. If you exercise, they're coming out with recent reports saying, make sure that you get in exercise at least 1 hour a day. Do something, walk, move, whatever you choose, but do exercise on a regular basis, and it helps tone your body and allows you to have an increased zest for life, or otherwise you will tend to become more sedate in your behavior. You just kind of sit around, and I don't think any of us want to live our lives as couch potatoes. It may be good to put your foot upon a couch, but not to become a couch potato. But notice verse 15. He told him not to neglect the gift, verse 14, but in verse 15 he says, meditate upon these things. These what things? The things that he just warned about in chapter 4. To think about what's going on in the world around you. You know, because there's so much evil going on, many people have this approach. They say, I don't want to hear about it. They want to stick their head in the sand like the proverbial ostrich is spoken of. And what ends up happening, people say, well, I don't want to read any articles that talk about bad things happening. Well, you don't want to focus and keep repeating those things in your mind. But the Bible tells us very plainly we are to watch and pray so that we know where we're at in the scheme of things. We need to know the Word of God because we need to know what is God doing. We need to know what this world is doing around us. Why is it acting like it is? And we need to know what's going on inside of us, what's lacking that needs to be gin up so that we will be in a better position than ever before to serve our God. Because after all, we've been called to serve the living God. And if we don't serve Him, who are we serving? Our own selfish lusts, our own selfish ways. And that won't get us in the kingdom of God, as Galatians already has been read, showing that the works of the flesh will keep people from the kingdom of God. Now notice, he says, meditate, give yourself wholly. Meditate wholly, get involved. And he says, it's profitable to all that they can see what's happening in your life. Take heed to yourself, to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you both save yourself and them that hear you. You see, everybody has the individual you can either accept or you can reject. I don't ever want you to just accept a word because I say it. I'm just human. I can make mistakes like anyone else. But I try not to, and I ask God, please keep whatever comes out of here. May it be your words, not mine. Because I can't save anyone, but I thank God that He is there to save us. You, me, and everyone else who's willing to look to Him for His salvation. And so He goes on to say, if they hear you, it's to their benefit. And if you do it, it's to your own benefit. So the minister has a job to do. The brethren have a job to do. Now, what meditation is in the Bible is not what we hear in the world when most people hear that word meditation. The practice of meditation by many individuals who claim they do this is they practice a meditation kind of like is found in Hinduism or in what we call Buddhism or transcendental meditation. You remember in the 1960s when the Beatles, after they had their run, they decided to go over there to India. They wanted something new. This was when we had the psychedelic explosion, if you'll remember. And at that time, they dressed up in all these Eastern mystical type of things. Their albums changed. The Beatles didn't look like the Beatles that you remember in the 60s. They changed completely. And they brought this guy called Maharishi Yogi. And I think the guy is still somewhere out there in the West Coast up in Oregon, if I remember the last reading I had on that. But anyway, his advice was, you sit down and you empty your mind and reduce excitation. You're too excitable. Be very calm. Think of nothing. Think of nothing. And you must meditate to raise yourself to the higher power within. The higher power within. That's how they meditate. They don't humble themselves before the mighty hand of God. They go through an exercise so that they can learn more about the inner self. And we are to meditate to see the mighty hand of God and what God is all about. That's very important because the object is to experience truth, peace, and being. But God wants us to experience Him. He wants us to understand who He is and why meditation is given in the Bible as a command. We're to dwell and to contemplate on the truth because truth is revealed by the pages of the Word of God, and it is always objective truth. It is not subjective truth. It's not how I look at it, how you look at it. It's how God defines it. He's the one that defines who we are. You can't explain who you are as a man and as a woman unless you let God explain. How did this all start? Where did it all come from? So God, so simple a child can understand. He says, how about let's do this? In the beginning, God. Well, you can't get any, real simple. That's how it started. Is that hard to understand? Well, only to people who want to reject the presence of God. If you understand that God and who He is, it begins to make a lot of sense. And then the scripture does what? It tells us that God is always looking for an individual who is a man or a woman after His own heart, who hungers and thirsts for the things of God, and who does what? Meditates on what we find in Psalm 63:6. And what is that? We meditate on God Himself. Because David did that. He thought about God and who He was and the importance of God. Then the wonderful works of God are discussed in Psalm 77, verse 12. Wonderful works. I mean, if God had not created the wonderful works that He has done, where would you go to really enjoy a vacation? If we go down to keep the feast at Panama City, and there's no beautiful Gulf of Mexico to look at, what do you see? Nothing. If you don't see these marvelous birds fly. I noticed something that I'd never realized before about seagulls down there at the feast. Now, the seagulls are always looking for food. I think those of you who may have been down there, you saw them. And somebody will throw fur, and boy, I don't know how the communication goes around. I don't know how bird talk goes, but they go, wah, 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 and boy, the sky is loaded with these seagulls. And you can throw something out there to feed them, and boy, wham, they can grab it right in the air. They can't catch it. They never miss it, for the most part. But then here's the kicker. When they all retire down to the ground, I notice that they're all together after their kind, but they've all got their individual space. They don't want one other bird to get too close to them. Keep your wings away from me, fellow bird, because if you do, they go at each other. They'll flap and they'll attack each other, but they always stay around with each other. Interesting, isn't it? Because we group together, but you know what? We're not to be on top of one another. We're to have a little bit of space, elbow room to be ourselves. Interesting how creation teaches you so many things. But there's so much to learn. I mentioned pelicans. I love the pelicans when they fly. Here they come, one right after another. You know, how'd they know to do that? How did the first pelican know who's going to be first? And then all of a sudden, here come these others, and they start flying in V formation. How do they know that? Because somebody called God made them that way, built those things into Him, just the way He built things into you and to me. And as Rush Limbaugh, if I might quote him, he uses the term, and talent on loan from God. Every one of us have DNA from the hand of Almighty God, and the talents and abilities we have all go back to our Heavenly Father via Jesus Christ, who made us. For it is Christ who is the instrumentality that God and the Father used to create all things, visible and invisible. Isn't that wonderful to think and meditate on, rather than say, from scum I did come. From a monkey flying in the trees, that's my ancestor. See how stupid that sounds? Absolute stupidity. You have a wonderful Heavenly Father and an elder brother and a Savior. And He's the one who ordained the family. He made us male and female. And He didn't want us to be male to male and female to female. He wanted us to be what only can produce a true family. And everything else that is called a family today is nothing but a mixed up mess. Because it's human beings leaning to their own understanding rather than listening to the Word of God. That's why they don't understand. And the more they try to fix it, the worse it gets. The more problems they have. Why should we meditate? Again, it's to nourish our understanding of God. Just like food nourishes us, the Bible is, as Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You take bread and you nourish your body physically. You have to have access to Jesus Christ in order to do what? In order to be nourished spiritually. And of course, what was the theme of the feast this year? Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. A mind of service. A service for everlasting to God. Why do angels exist? They are ministering spirits that God has ordained that serve Him faithfully. They don't come up and wake up like we wake up in a day and they say, oh, Lord, do we have to go back down there and watch over them again today? They do it joyfully. They are assigned to us because we are heirs of salvation according to God's great plan and purpose. And they know that their future is tied to us and our future is tied to them. Because our future all resides with God Himself. And without God, there is no future. He's the one who lets us enjoy all the marvelous things we are blessed to have and do and perform. And He says, use it wisely. You're accountable with it. You're going to have to answer to Me. Oh yeah, you can choose to do it any way you want, but you will have to answer if you're a young person. You want to go burn the candle at two ends? You can do that. But you'll pay the consequences of it. So God tells us, be careful. Listen to Me. Don't do the things that are going to hurt you. There are those who call themselves Christian, but they don't meditate on the things of God. And as a result, they don't know what's in this book. And it's what's in this book that's going to defend you from the hour of darkness that is rapidly approaching. You can say, well, I'm a Christian. That's just a name. There's a lot of people who call themselves Christian, and they're no more Christian than a man in the moon, which doesn't exist, which means they're not true Christians. They don't exist. It's the Word of God that defines you as a Christian. If this is what you hunger for, this is what you thirst for, this is what you ask God for guidance and help, He will give it to you. James tells us that. He says, if any man lack wisdom, ask. Ask, seek, knock, and it'll be open to you. God is no respecter of persons. He wants to share these things with us. Why should we meditate? It is a source of joy and strength that comes to us as men and women. It strengthens us. It helps us to know when you're living in, I'll tell you, you can imagine combat soldiers in real situations drop behind enemy lines. There's nothing more wonderful to have fellow soldiers that you hook up with or get connected to. Because you realize every which way you move, the enemy could be firing at you. And the Bible tells us Satan's always on the prowl with fiery darts, trying to create complications in the lives, especially of God's people. He's already got the masses under his control. But when you say you want to worship God and you want to walk in His ways, uh-oh, there's going to be bumps in the road of life. And that's why it says through much tribulation. we enter the kingdom of God. And it comes in many different ways. It can come in so many different ways. It's not just one set way, but everybody's going through something. And God says, don't compare yourselves among yourselves. That's not wise. Run to God for answers and for help, because that's where the answers are found. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, and we begin in verse 28. Here the prophet Isaiah is inspired to write, speaking again of God's magnificent, oh man, we could read this. This whole chapter is a marvelous chapter. I won't take time to read it all, but did you know you were a grasshopper? Notice verse 22. He that sits upon the circle of the earth and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Hello, fellow grasshoppers. We don't even realize how small we are. When you hold a little grasshopper in your hand, you realize, what are we anyway? He does all these marvelous things. The one that I love here in verse 26, he says, lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things? How did they get up there like they did? Why are they hanging there? How do I know if they are even there? Because the light is coming, but it's so far out, that thing may have novaed many years ago, and the light is still coming through the atmosphere to get to planet Earth. So when you look up there and see a certain constellation, it may be there and it may not be there, depending on the light years traveling. And then how many of those are angels? Because it says angels are stars. How many times have we seen, there goes a shooting star? Maybe it was a piece of a planetoid, piece of debris flying through space. But then again, maybe it was an angel flying through the heavens. Book of Revelation says there's going to be angels flying through the heavens and having the everlasting gospel. How are they going to hear? What's going to fly through the? Something that looks like a shooting star? An angel? I'll tell you, folks, there's a lot we don't know that we think we know so much. Boy, it's a time to walk humbly with our God. Verse 28, have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary, and there is no searching his understanding. Now we need to understand, the key to understanding, godly understanding, is meditation. But even then, we still only see in part. We still are not able to really get it all together. No, there are things that God wants us to grasp and comprehend. He is the source of everything. Romans 8, verse 29. Romans 8, 29. The Apostle Paul, I personally believe, when he was taken up into heaven and he saw the marvelous things that were going on up there, we're here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. It says, for whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus is the firstborn in this great plan of destiny that affects men and women, human beings made in the image of God. Romans 12 and verse 1 and 2 talks about it requires a transformation. We can't stay this way forever and be in the kingdom of God. God calls those things that are not as though they are. And even though we're physically living in this world, it's spiritually as if we're in the kingdom of God now in an embryonic beginning through the power of God's Spirit, because God projects in his mind, this is where I want them to be in my kingdom. But we're not there till what? Till the resurrection brings the final transformation from flesh to spirit, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So the scripture is telling you, balancing your thinking, God sees the plan down the road where he wants us to be, but he says, you're not there yet. You know, it's like kids in the back of the car when you're driving down the highway. What do they say? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. Still got a ways to go. But we keep moving in the context of what God reveals. And at the resurrection, the flesh gives way to the spirit body that God has planned for each and every one of us. A wonderful body that's going to shine like the sun. We're going to be a photonic, energy-minded being. We're going to radiate like the sun in different dimensions and things that we can't even begin to fully understand. But the indications are there in the Bible. And remember, God is a spirit that cannot lie. So what he says and what he reveals in Scripture, you can take it to the bank, as they like to say, because God says he's never going to leave us in the lurch. He's always going to tell us the truth and bring us where we need to be. So what do we have to do? Well, Romans 12, 1-2 says we have to be renewed in the renewing of our minds. Our minds have been polluted. They really have, men and women. All of us have been poisoned by the spirit of this world, which is Satan's spirit. Now, we can either embrace that spirit or we embrace the spirit of God. By embracing the spirit of God with his help, it's called overcoming. And we're telling God daily that we choose to go his way. We fight up that stream like the fish do to go upstream, the salmon, their birthplace. Where did we originate from? From our God. We're trying to go back to our God, and he's renewing our minds, our perspective, helping us with these things. And notice Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, we have the following. Verses 1 and 2. And these are the type of scriptures you have to meditate on. You have to think about what they're actually saying. It says, if you then, notice here again, if you choose to do this, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Think about the heavenly perspective. It says, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Wow, that's the picture you have to put in your mind when you get down on your knees and pray. You're not praying to the wall. You're praying to God through Jesus Christ. And notice, set your affections on the things above, not on the things on the earth. Your affections have to be on the same page with God. Many individual Christians who claim to be Christians, they fall because they do not meditate on the proper things. Oh, they meditate. But they meditate on the wrong things. They're thinking about it. I forget the name of the guy who once said it, but he's a promoter, positive mental attitude, and he refers to, in many of his books, stinking thinking. I know some of you know that, who I'm talking about. Well, we're all victims of stinking thinking. Things that have corrupted our minds, and that's what Satan's good at. He really knows how to get us thinking on all kinds of crazy things when in reality, God says, you're going nowhere. I'd like to read something to you now. I want you to realize again, Colossians told us mining the things of the flesh will get us nowhere. It leads to death. But I want you to hear this and listen very carefully to what I'm about to read to you, because it really gives you insight as to what has been happening and how the frog has been slowly boiled. And that's you and me. We're the frog that's being boiled in this world, and we're just about ready to be cooked in the final analysis. Recent studies conducted by Stanford University research team have revealed that, quote, what we watch, unquote, does have an effect on our imaginations, our learning patterns, and our behaviors. Wow. What we watch, huh? Okay, let's go on a little bit more here. First, we are exposed to new behaviors and characters. In other words, people who represent a certain lifestyle or behavior pattern. Next, we learn or acquire these new behaviors. In other words, people are copycats. They copy these things. We have our American idols. We have people that we pattern ourselves after as men and women. We wear the same kind of clothes that they wear. If they do this, we do this. If they do that, we do that. We follow them instead of following the Son of God. Now listen carefully. Next, we learn to acquire these new behaviors. The last and most crucial step is that we adopt these behaviors as our own. Is somebody remaking all of us? Wanting us to become just like him? To ascribe to his values rather than the values of God? One of the most critical aspects of human development that we need to understand. Why do we need to understand? Because that's one of the first little cliches that pop out of our mouth when we don't get our way. We say, nobody understands. Or they say, you don't understand to your husband. You don't understand to your wife. You don't understand, the children say to the parents. And God says, I'm sorry, none of you understand until understanding is given to you. You're all in the dark. You just don't know it. You're fighting among yourselves when your purpose was to love one another as I have loved you. But you fight and you war and you kill one another and you do just the opposite because you're living in darkness while you profess you're in the light. And so he goes on here and says that we need to understand is the influence of, quote, repeated viewing, unquote, and repeated verbalizing, unquote. Like repeating your mantra, or say, I'm getting better every day, I keep repeating these things. This is all part of wrongful meditation. And it shapes our future. The information goes in harmlessly, almost unnoticed, on a daily basis. But we don't react to it until later when we aren't even able to realize the basis for our reaction. So somebody said, why did you do that? And they look at you sincerely and say, I don't know. You mean you don't even know why you did that? Because the seeds were planted a long time ago, and now the situation has arisen, and you fell right into the trap. This is why the Bible is so necessary, brethren. We're all vulnerable. We're living with a deceitful enemy who knows us better. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It goes on, in other words, our value system is being formed without any conscious awareness on our part of what is happening. That comes from a book entitled Seeds of Greatness by Dennis Whatley, page 47 and 48. In other words, he says, you are what you watch and you are what you think, page 45. Why do you think a 60-second commercial is repeated constantly? Why are they trying to get there? Why do they pay so much money for a 30-second commercial? Because they know if they can get it in there, they can alter your lifestyle. That's why back in the 50s, there was a period of time when fellas used to buy Brill cream. Why? They were told, a little dab will do you. A little dab will do you. And then you hear all these other commercials appealing to women, saying, hey, you want to use this product. Why? It makes things whiter than white. Whiter than white? How do you get whiter than white? White is white. But they make you believe it. Well, consider if you watch something like a soapbox opera or soap opera on TV, or something like porno that is so terribly used today on TV or computers. Repeated viewing, what would it do to your lifestyle? I submit to you, the pornography is destroying marriages. It's causing all kinds of problems in families, young and old, makes no difference. And what we actually see happening before our very eyes is we're being conditioned. It started slowly after the golden age of radio disappeared in 1961. Something new came on. It was called the one-eyed monster. That's what we called it. And it came into our homes, and what did we do? We watched. And what do? Turn out the lights. Why? Because it looks better. We can see it. What happens when you go to the movies? They turn out the lights. Do the movies impact on you? Here's a particular scene from Alfred Hitchcock, one of his movies. And the shower gets pulled back, and you see something very tragic happen. And a woman screams, and everybody in the audience jumps. Why? Because you're emotionally affected by these things. We all are. They're manipulating us. They're playing us like a musical instrument. Dear brethren, this is far more dangerous than any of us realize. That's why meditation is necessary to renew our minds, to be transformed. We're being exposed to novels, movies, television shows, things that do not possess the things we should be thinking about. And when those things begin to come on, we have to have the courage, like one mother did when she saw Beyonce. No. Older folks, don't watch Beyonce. Younger folks, ooh, they know Beyonce. They know Hannah Montana when she was, yeah. Now they know this other one who's twerking all over the place. And people love to have it so. And so people today are twerking. Sexually explicit, lewd type dancing. And nobody misses the picture. And if you take a look and see how Beyonce did her routine for the break period on the 2013 show that she performed on, you'll see some very interesting things. You'll see how she says, well, I'm a very shy person, but when I get out there, my alter ego, Sasha, takes over. And Sasha begins to move and do things that get you thinking of things you shouldn't be thinking about. And it's designed in such a way to push into the mind. And if you take those frames and go one step at a time, as one man did on the YouTube, guess what he showed? He shows how her face actually changes and how a nice soft face suddenly becomes ugly and a tongue changes and certain gyrations because Sasha is a different person, a spirit. If you go back and listen to how Hollywood, some of the things that they openly say now, the clothing they wear that represents certain symbolisms, and you'll have to go back and do your research to know what those symbolisms are. And my time's running out, so I can't tell you all those things. But I'm telling you, brethren, the hour is late. And some of us older folks, we're asleep at the switch. You younger folks, you are the target. Why are you the target? Because you have been conditioned by this slow, steady advance, which I just read to you, which Stanford University recognizes. They are the ones that did it. And they know it works because you can see all the Hollywood actors who now do what? They openly say that they give themselves over to the roles which they are playing in these movies. They literally become, because a spirit influence dominates them, and people have no clue as to what's really going on. They think they're clapping for a physical human being, and they're bowing before a fallen spirit that is working in harmony with a human being. It says that the devil's children are the ones that work in harmony with him. Jesus put it this way. You are of your father the devil. His works you do. And those works are being done all around us. And God's answer to it, come out of her, my people, while you still have time, while you still have a chance. Have the courage to shut the TV off when you see two men kissing and women kissing. Those aren't things to be watching. Those aren't things that have God's blessing. But the world is going to put a blessing on everything you can do. What? Because everything that they have been providing through Satan, saying, I'm going to be free, I'm going to be free, I'm going to be free. And the Bible says you cannot be free unless you repent and walk humbly with your God. Then you will know true freedom, because you will not have to look over your shoulder worrying about what's going to happen next. You will know that you have given your heart to God and you're doing the best you can, and that you are going to be saved by His grace. Nothing else you're doing. But you must be in compliance to the best of your ability. That's why we're here. This doesn't make us holy, but it's God makes us holy through His Spirit, by being His people, where He can embrace us. And why would He embrace us? Because He knows, we've discovered, He really does love us. And He's shown us how to love Him in return. God, may His blessing be upon us, because the battle now is getting set to explode on the horizon. May God help us all to be victors in this battle.